Welcome back to the show. Everybody got a great episode for you today, but just wanted to say right before I get into anything, sorry I didn't post last week, but the weather has been really nice, so I've been trying to spend more time outside, get a little more exercise, do outdoor activities. Went to a baseball game the other day, so yeah, doing all sorts of outdoor stuff, enjoying the weather. But yeah, I got a couple things to review in this episode. Going to be reviewing Family Camp, which is a movie from the Skit Guys Studios, which is like a Christian-based studio that makes Christian-based skits and movies and all sorts of stuff. It's a movie I wouldn't typically talk about, but I oftentimes try to seek out some really bad movies just so I can cover them and shit on them. And that's kind of the case here. So, yeah, hopefully I don't offend anybody who is religious or also likes these kinds of movies. But, yeah. One thing I will say about my review for that, something I didn't say in my review, is that it feels like something that would be on Netflix that just nobody watches. Feels like a Netflix movie that, you know, is made for kids, yet kids don't even want to watch it. So, yeah, I didn't say that in the review, but I wanted to say it here because I forgot to say it in the review. But, yeah, I'm also going to be reviewing Firestarter, which is a new... It's kind of like that movie Brightburn, where it's like, what if kid Superman was evil? I don't know if it's, like, made by the same people or not, or if it's connected. I still haven't watched it yet as of recording this. But, yeah, we shall see. I think Zac Efron is in it, too, so... Looks like an interesting movie. I haven't heard the greatest things about it, though. But the last thing I will be doing in this episode is my MCU tier list, which will include Multiverse of Madness and Moon Knight. Haven't done an MCU tier list in a little bit. And the last time I did it, I think I only did it for the movies, but this one will be the movies and the TV shows all in one tier list. So yeah, it'll include the new projects, like I said, and it should be a good time. So probably not going to be the super longest episode in terms of like the reviews and the movie news, but when it comes to that tier list, that might take up a decent chunk of this episode. But as for the next episode coming out later on this week, should be reviewing that new movie Men. It's like a kind of horror movie, looks like. And then most likely I'm going to be watching that Downton Abbey movie. I haven't watched any of like Downton Abbey shows or movies or anything like that. So I will be going into it not knowing anything and seeing if the movie is good enough for somebody who hasn't watched any of that before. The Bob's Burgers movie is coming out soon. I'm planning on watching the first season of that at least before I watch the movie. So check out for, or keep an eye out for my review of the first season of Bob's Burgers coming out fairly soon. But yeah, as for this episode, reviewing Family Camp, Firestarter, and doing my MCU tier list. But before I do any of that, I will be getting some movie news like I usually do. But before any of that, I do have to thank today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
First piece of news here comes from Deadline, and their headline is Marvel's MODOK canceled by Hulu after one season. They go on to say here, Hulu is bidding farewell to another one of its Marvel properties, MODOK. the streamer's adult animated show from Jordan Blum and Patton Oswalt, has been canceled after one season. They go on to say here, Oswalt also voiced the title role, a supervillain struggling to balance his company and family. Other actors who lent their voice to the action were Ben Schwartz, Amy Garcia, John Daly, Melissa Fumero, Sam Richardson, Beck Bennett, and Wendy McLendon-Covey. Hopefully I'm saying that right. My favorite character for sure was the one that Ben Schwartz played. Let me look up what his name was again. I won't lie, I liked the first 10 episodes of this show, the first season of it. Ben Schwartz played Lou Tarleton, hopefully I'm saying that right, which is the son of MODOK. And obviously, like Patton Oswalt, he's a great voice actor as well. A lot of you might know him from, he played Remy in, what's that movie called, Ratatouille. But he's done a lot of other voice work and, you know, live action work as well. And I can't remember what show it is. I can't remember. I think it might be Parks and Rec. He has that whole tangent where he's talking about Boba Fett, and that turned out to be true. Look that up on YouTube, Patton Oswalt, Boba Fett. It's either Parks and Rec or Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I can't remember. I think it's Parks and Rec, though. I could be wrong. But, yeah, MODOK I thought was a pretty good show. It wasn't the strongest show I've ever watched, but it was really funny. And, you know, the style of animation they do is claymation. It was very similar to what Robot Chicken is doing. And I enjoyed it overall. I actually liked it. So the fact that they're canceling it after one season does disappoint me quite a bit. I think it had a lot of potential, and I would have liked to see another season, but it is what it is. Things are always getting canceled, and a lot of shows typically don't get... Well, a lot of shows typically don't see the light of day, and then there's a lot of them who do and don't get to stick around long enough. So what do you think about this news that MODOK is being canceled only after one season? Pretty disappointing there, but on to the next piece of news. Next piece of news here comes from CBR.com, and their headline is She-Hulk's Disney Plus premiere date surfaces. They go on to say here, on the company's website, the show is listed as hitting the Disney Plus streaming service on August 17th of 2022. The premiere date arrives after a report claiming that the series would be pushed back until late 2022, with the possibility of not releasing until early 2023. Much like the case was with Thor: Love and Thunder before the film's first trailer released, not much has been seen of She-Hulk, though it is months away. So yeah, I'll just stop reading there. But if you want to know anything more about She-Hulk, go check out this article on CBR.com. Yeah, I'm excited. It stars Tatiana Maslany as She-Hulk. Jennifer Walters, I believe, is her real name. And also Mark Ruffalo will be showing up as Hulk / Bruce Banner. Maybe Smart Hulk, maybe not. Maybe just as Bruce Banner. We shall have to wait and see. But yeah, what do you think about this news that She-Hulk will be coming to Disney Plus sooner than expected? On to the next piece of news. Next piece of news here comes from Giant Freakin' Robot, and their headline is The Raunchiest 90s Sitcom is Being Rebooted. They go on to say here, adult-oriented animated shows used to seem relatively novel, but these days they're practically the norm. New cartoons in the vein of South Park, Family Guy, BoJack Horseman, Rick and Morty, Archer, and Robot Chicken seem to premiere just about every day. So how does a new series stand out amongst the rest? Well, how about rather than bothering with a brand new concept, you take an older hit with the same kind of content and replace the live action with animation? That's about to happen with the hit sitcom Married with Children. According to Deadline, the new Married with Children will have the same leading cast of Ed O'Neill, Katie Sagal, Christina Applegate, and David Faustino, voicing the respective members of the especially dysfunctional Bundy family. Now, Married with Children is a show I have never watched before. I'm not very familiar with it, but I am familiar with Ed O'Neill, because for those of you who don't know, I've been binging Modern Family, and he plays Jay Pritchett on that show. I'm a huge fan of that show, and definitely got me interested with this one, turning a live-action 90s sitcom into an animated show. Kind of interesting, kind of also reminds me, in a way, of F is for Family, just a little bit. That Bill Burr show, although that, I believe, is set in the 70s. This, I don't know if it'll still be set in the 90s or what they'll do there. I don't know. I don't know if the show in general is set in the 90s. Maybe it's set in the 70s. I have no idea. Also, I thought it was a lot older of a show than being in the 90s. But, yeah. What do you think about this report that Married with Children will bring back the original cast to voice their characters in a now animated show? Very interesting news there. But on to the next piece of news. And the last piece of news here comes from CBR.com, and their headline is Twisted Metal cast Brooklyn Nine-Nine's Stephanie Beatrice as new character Quiet. Right off the bat, I'm not too familiar with Twisted Metal. I know it's like a really cool game and stuff. I was just never, you know, I never ended up playing it when I was a kid or whatever. I probably could have gotten it for the PS2, but just never got my hands on a copy. But I know it's a very popular game, and I also love Stephanie Beatrice, so it should be interesting to see her in this. But they go on to say here, Sony Pictures Television, PlayStation Productions, and Universal Television's Twisted Metal has cast Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Encanto star Stephanie Beatrice in its upcoming live-action adaptation. Announced by Peacock, Beatrice will appear in the upcoming action comedy series as one of its co-leads. Beatrice will play Quiet, a badass car thief who acts purely on instinct. Quiet is a new character created for the series. Per her character description, she comes from a community that oppressed her into silence, and is now looking for her place in this dark, chaotic world. However, Quiet becomes consumed by a need for revenge, joining Anthony Mackie's from The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, John Doe, on an adventure across a post-apocalyptic wasteland. That sounds fucking badass, and I want to watch that right now. Especially since Stephanie Beatrice and also Anthony Mackie are attached to the project. Definitely going to be checking this out. I will definitely be getting Peacock just to check this out. But what do you guys think about this news that Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been cast in the live-action adaptation of Twisted Metal? And also, have you played Twisted Metal? How is it? Let me know. But like I said, that's the last piece of news. So let's get into my reviews, starting with Family Camp. All right, so I just got done watching Family Camp. I actually was in that theater right there, NCG Cinema. Let me get back in my car here because it's a little windy and I don't want to mess up the audio too much. But yeah, it stars Tommy Woodard as Tommy Ackerman and Eddie James as Eddie Sanders. And it's basically like two families end up in a camp, and they're competitive and all that. And honestly, it reminds me heavily of the plot of Cheaper by the Dozen 2. But the thing that separates this from that movie is the faith aspect of the film. It comes from Skit Guys Studios, which is like a faith-based skits production studio. And this is their full-length movie. It's almost 2 hours long. I did not stay for the whole thing because after a certain point, I was like, I know what kind of movie this is, and I don't need to see any more. So maybe that'll tell you how I feel about the movie. It's not good. They think they're really funny, and they also think they're really deep at times, but they're really not. You don't really get to know the characters that much. You just kind of jump into it, like, Tommy shows up to church one day, and then the wife is just like, all right, let's go to family camp. I'm like, okay, I guess. I mean, you can just tell from the beginning the way he is. He's like on the phone and distracted heading into church. So it's probably like, oh, we need to be closer as a family, but they don't specify that. Also, they don't specify what his work is that he does, but it plays a pretty big part in the movie. Just like him going back and forth with his bosses and coworkers about losing a promotion to other people and stuff like that. And it's just like, I mean, we hear the word commission in here, so he works for commission, or he gets paid commission, but we don't know exactly what it is that he does. Is he like a realtor, or what does he do? I don't know. And the movie really doesn't care about that. The movie does just care about the family aspect and bringing the people together and having these two people at odds come together and form a friendship, I guess, or like a kind of frenemies in a way. It's not good though. It's bad. And I know I'm not the target demographic. I'm not very religious, and also I'm not a child. So this movie is not made for me, but I mean, there should be some good aspects about it, but there really aren't that many. There are probably two things in the movie that I saw that made me laugh, and both of them had to do with Eddie James getting hurt, which in the movie, his character is just so fucking annoying. He's the kind of Christian person I hate. Person that's just like Jesus 100% of the time, all the time. All the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week, Jesus. And I'm just like, that's the kind of thing that turns me off from religion, is the people that never stop talking about religion. Like, and no offense if you're like that at all. No offense. But that shit just fucking, and I'm swearing too. Even though this is a review for a Christian movie, I don't care. I'm technically a Christian, but I haven't gone to church in years. So, I mean, this is the best I can give you guys in terms of a review for this movie. It's not made for me. I mean, it's not made for most people because there was nobody in the fucking theater. And I don't know how this movie's going to do this weekend, but with Doctor Strange coming out last weekend, I was actually thinking on the way to the movie, it's kind of funny. Let me close the door here because it's still fucking windy. But, yeah, I was thinking on the way, it's like, it's kind of funny. Most parents would probably rather take their kid to see Doctor Strange, which honestly probably isn't for most kids. It's more of a horror movie. It's funny that parents would most likely rather take their children to see that than this movie, because parents would probably see the trailer for this and be like, I don't want to watch that shit. But I'm going to try to wrap this up in a little bit here, because, oh my God, it's so hot. It's like 80 degrees, and this car doesn't have good air conditioning, and it's a black car too, so oof. But do I recommend this movie? Not at all. No. If it's like on a streaming service and you really want to watch it, go ahead, but don't waste your money watching this movie, especially with how much it, you know, how much money you spend taking an entire family to the movies. No, don't waste your time with this one. Like I said, they think they're really funny in a lot of parts, and then they think they're really deep in a lot of parts, and both of those statements are not true. They're not funny, they're not deep. It's a very low budget movie, and it shows in a lot of parts, and it also shows with the script. The script is not very good, but the best line in this movie for me actually is in the trailer, where Eddie James's character says, when God closes one door, he opens a Chick-fil-A. I thought that was fucking hilarious. I still think that's funny, but that's really the only redeemable joke in this movie for me. There are some slightly heartwarming moments with the family and stuff like that, but it doesn't blow me away. But the lady who plays Eddie James's wife in this movie, goddamn, she is hot. So yeah, sorry for the swearing. If you guys are on YouTube and you searched up this video hoping for a nice, happy Christian review, that is not what this is. So, hopefully I didn't offend anybody, but I'm sure I probably did. But that's all I have to say about 2022's Family Camp. Did you see it? What did you think? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? For me, I definitely hate this movie. This will most likely end up on my top 10 worst of this year, depending on what else comes out. But, yeah, definitely not going to be watching this again. Don't make the effort to go out and watch it. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10, and that's me being nice to it, saying like, all right, this movie isn't made for me, but that's all I have to say about it because I'm sweating profusely and I need to turn this car on or open a window or something because it is so freaking hot. But yeah, for those of you on YouTube, thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next review. For those of you listening to the podcast, let's get on to the next review. 2022's Firestarter is based off of the Stephen King novel of the same name. And there's also a 1984 film of the same name, based on the Stephen King book, that stars a young Drew Barrymore. As for this movie, let me look up the cast here. We got director Keith Thomas. Let me see if I recognize him from anything. By the way, there's going to be no spoilers for this. I don't think this movie quite warrants a like dedicated spoiler section. So, I'll just be reviewing the movie as is. It looks like he did Arcane from 2017, a short. I wonder if that's the same Arcane. No, it doesn't look like it. Not the same thing from League of Legends. But let me see here. There's nothing that I'm recognizing from this director here. Looks like he's a director and producer. As for the writers, obviously it's based on the novel by Stephen King, which I mentioned before. And the screenplay here is by Scott Teams. And let's see if I recognize him from anything. See, this is what I love about recording from home. I can actually use my resources to look at the cast as opposed to my family camp review. It looks like this guy, Scott Teams, has worked on Halloween Kills. He was the writer on that. Let me see. He's working on the story for the new Exorcist show or movie. I can't remember which one, but I've heard about that. In pre-production for Insidious 5. Oh, and that's about all I recognize here, but he's definitely worked with horror before. And this movie, I said before that it's like a horror movie, and it's kind of like Brightburn. And both of those are true, but this is also more of a sci-fi movie than a horror movie, I guess. After watching the film, I don't think that Brightburn would be connected to this because it's not based off of the Stephen King novel. I could see this movie potentially getting a sequel, but I don't think it's going to end up doing well enough to get that sequel since it came out the weekend after Multiverse of Madness. I can't imagine it's going to do that well up against that behemoth. But a little unfortunate because I actually kind of like the movie. Let me give you the cast here. I don't even know if people have really been seeing the trailers for this, but from the trailers alone, it didn't look that great. There were some cheesy lines in there like liar, liar, pants on fire, and then, you know, the pants catch on fire. If you don't know what this movie is about or what the story is about in general, here's the synopsis. A young girl tries to understand how she mysteriously gained the power to set things on fire with her mind. And small kind of spoiler here, she can do more than just that. Man, actually, there are some decent things to talk about in terms of spoilers here. But I don't really want to give any of that away. I think it's worth a watch, especially since it's on Peacock, I believe. Pretty sure. 99.9% sure that it's on Peacock. So if you want to go watch it and you don't feel like going to the theaters, which honestly, don't waste your money on this movie. It's not like, I don't think it's fully worth the theater going experience. But yeah, like streaming, perfect. But as the main character here, Charlie McGee, we have Ryan Kiara Armstrong. Hopefully I'm saying her name right. We also have Zac Efron as her father, Andy McGee. We have Sydney Lemon as Vicky McGee, the mother. One of the villains of this movie, Michael Gray Eyes. Yeah, we should be saying that right. As Rain Bird, Gloria Rubin as Captain Hollister, and Kurtwood Smith as Dr. Joseph Wainless. Don't know how to pronounce that, but yeah, Kurtwood Smith plays Red on That 70s Show, and they're going to be making That 90s Show soon, or they're making it right now. It'll come out soon. But the real standout for me, aside from the main actor here who plays Charlie, which I think she did a really great job, Zac Efron as Andy. Every time I see Zac Efron in a movie that's like supposed to be somewhat serious, he always surprises me. Like, I forget the title, but the one where he plays Ted Bundy, I'm not even gonna attempt what the title is because I can't remember. It's been a while since I've watched that, but he was really great in that, to the point where I was kind of afraid of him for a little bit. I was just like, damn, I would not want to meet him. But yeah, I thought he was a really good character in this film, a really good actor in the film. Sydney Lemon, she didn't have a whole lot to do in the film. So, she didn't. I mean, yeah. But Michael Gray Eyes, I thought, was a somewhat interesting character. I mean, aside from the two pretty much main characters here, Andy and Charlie, the father and the daughter, they don't really give a whole lot of backstory to any of the other characters. It's a pretty short movie. I think it's like an hour and a half or so. So they got a lot to do in that short amount of time. But I mean, I liked it overall. I don't think it was bad. I'm not going to be rushing back to watch it. I don't know when the next time I would watch it would be. Probably won't end up on my top 10 best of this year, but maybe not on my top 10 worst either. So, yeah, I don't think it'll end up on my top 10 worst, but Family Camp, maybe. But yeah, pretty good cast. Like I said, Zac Efron always surprises me in these types of roles, so kudos to him for doing a good job in the film. And you know what? For those of you who are curious about what I have to say in terms of spoilers, if you have seen it, or if you're just curious and you don't want to watch the movie, I have a few things to say. So if you don't want to hear your spoilers, either if you're on YouTube, click off the video, or if you're on the podcast, I'll figure something out to try and be like, skip ahead this amount of time. But yeah, it's Firestarter. You know, I only have a couple things to say. They're minor spoilers that don't ruin the plot. So, yeah. If you're really that worried about it, then just leave. But, like, it's really minor stuff. So, basically, the whole intro of the film is Zac Efron's character and Sidney Lemon's character being tested on while they're in college. And, you know, it's really foggy whether or not they had the abilities before or if they got them during the testing. I think it's before, like, they had the abilities and then they got tested. But then they have this daughter who has abilities too. So all three of them have abilities. So that's kind of interesting there. I guess that's not really a huge spoiler, especially, like, I don't know. It's... They don't address it in the trailers, I don't think, but I haven't really watched many of the trailers, so they mainly focus on the girl and her powers of being able to, you know, start fighters, as, you know, as the title makes you believe. She definitely does that, but some pretty good gore in the film, that's for sure. I think it had some pretty decent gore. It is rated R, so they're able to do some somewhat gory stuff with, like, you know, melting people, essentially. That was pretty fucked up. There might have been a situation with a cat, which I think that was in the trailers. But goddamn, when it goes down, it goes down. You know, you see her using her abilities throughout the film, but you don't see it, like, in full effect until the final act, which is perfect. You know, you don't want to, and this sounds weird since it's like a kid character, but you don't want to bust your load, you know, in the beginning, and then, you know, the climax isn't as, you know, entertaining as appealing. And a lot of movies do this, like, you know, Avengers, the first Avengers. I mean, plenty of the superhero movies in general, which makes sense because, like, they kind of address it. It's like, she's kind of a superhero in a way if she can hone in on her abilities. But it's like, you don't want to have crazy action and just, like, do all your crazy stuff up front and then also have a crazy final battle, because it's just going to be like, all right, well, this movie was just all crazy. It didn't feel like it was leading up to anything. And for this, it definitely did feel like it was leading up to something. And, I appreciate the movie for that, but also it's, you know, not the greatest movie I've ever seen. I've seen it done better in Brightburn, I feel like. But it has been a minute since I watched Brightburn. I don't remember if I, like, absolutely love that movie. But I think the concept of that movie alone is a little bit better for me, I guess. And the execution in that movie was a little bit better in this one. Or a little bit better in that one as opposed to this one. But, yeah, have you seen Brightburn? Let me know what you think down in the comments below if you were on YouTube. Or if you're on the podcast, you know, hit me up on Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. Let me know what you thought. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? I can't say I love it, but I like it. So, yeah, I think I'm going to give this movie a 7 out of 10. I thought it was pretty good. I haven't listened to any other reviews. I know, I think it's Chris Parker, right? 3C Films. Just from his thumbnail alone, it looked like he was a little disappointed. But, you know, They do that stuff sometimes to try and throw you off, but yeah, I'll have to listen to his review after I do this one to see what he thought of the movie. But I'm very curious to see what other people thought of the film. I thought it was pretty good, but nothing to write home about. But yeah, there's my review for 2022's Firestarter. If you're on YouTube, thanks for watching. If you're on the podcast, let's get into my tier list. All right, the great MCU tier list. So just to kind of warm you guys up to the tier list thing, I start with S tier, which is the best, and this list will go down to D tier, which is the worst. And the way I kind of organize these, well, first off, I did in release order, so we'll be going in order of releases. But I also kind of ranked them in terms of, like, which ones I would rewatch first. So, like, S tier are the movies that I would love to rewatch on a rainy day or really any day and just turn it on and be like, oh my god, I love this movie so much. A tier, I still love those movies, but they're not the ones I would revisit first. B tier, you know, I like the movies, but not ones I would revisit. C tier, you know, it has some redeeming qualities, but overall I don't care for the film that much. And then D tier movies that I will not be rewatching unless I want to go back and rewatch the entire MCU from start to finish. But yeah, that's basically it's basically how I ranked the movies and TV shows here. This list does include the most recent titles, Moon Knight and Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness. So let's stop rambling. Let's get into this list. Starting with Iron Man from 2008, the grandfather of the MCU, the movie that started it all. Without this movie, I don't think the MCU would be what it is today. Robert Downey Jr. killed it as the character. Pretty great movie, not my favorite one, but still love it, so I'm going to put it in the A tier. Now, Incredible Hulk from 2008. I've never really cared for this movie all that much. Edward Norton, you know, didn't really care for him as Hulk / Bruce Banner. I definitely like Mark Ruffalo better. I wouldn't say, like, Mark Ruffalo would be my top pick for the Hulk. In terms of people that have played him in live action, he would be. But in terms of just people in general that could play the character, probably wouldn't be my first pick. But I still think he does a good job. As for Edward Norton, I heard that he was hard to work with on set and wanted to change a lot of things in the story around. So, sounded like Marvel had a real vision for what they were trying to go for. But in the end, it really didn't do much for me. And the villain was fine, but I don't know what it is about the movie. I just never really cared for it. Haven't really revisited it too many times. So I'm going to go ahead and put The Incredible Hulk from 2008 in the D tier. Now, Iron Man 2 from 2010, also put that in the D tier. Really don't care for the villain of Whiplash. You know, you have some cool moments with like Rhodey in the War Machine suit, and then them teaming up in that giant, like, globe kind of fixture. You know what I'm talking about. The final battle was kind of cool, but in the end, it just wasn't enough to turn this movie around for me, so that's why I got to put that in the D tier. As for Thor 2011, you know, it's not a horrible movie. You got the Dutch angles, which, you know, I can give or take. I think, isn't it directed by Kenneth Branagh? I'm pretty sure it is, and he plays, like, one of the characters in there, the one of the Warriors 5 or 4 or however many. I don't mind the film. It's definitely not the worst MCU movie. The way they just, like, bleached his eyebrows and stuff just looks a little unnatural, I guess. So, I mean, it has a decent story. Loki's a great character. Odin's, you know, a terrible father, but it is what it is. Definitely not my first option to rewatch, so I'm going to put Thor from 2011 in the C tier. Now, coming up with Captain America, the First Avenger from 2011. Now, Captain America is probably one of my favorite characters in the MCU. I love Chris Evans, and I just have fond memories of this movie. Looking back on it, it's not the best MCU movie by any means, but it still holds a special place in my heart. I love period pieces, and especially ones set around World War II. I think Red Skull is a pretty decent villain, not like the best villain of all MCU movies, but it's a pretty enjoyable film for me. So I'm going to put Captain America, the First Avenger in A tier. Now, Avengers, The Avengers 2012. I also have fond memories of seeing this movie in a theater. I remember leaving, or not leaving school early, but after school one day going to the movie theater, which was my favorite theater growing up, that is now closed but turned into a comedy club. Go check them out. I think it's called Funny is Funny in Lansing, Michigan. But fond memories of seeing it in the theater. I did have a headache when I first saw it, so it wasn't the fondest memory, but I still loved it because, you know, superheroes were awesome and they still are. Looking back on this film, it's not great. Loki is a great villain, but I don't know, just the style of the film overall, I don't care for. I think it mainly comes down to just the film editing and just this overall style of the film that I don't quite care for. But I'm going to put The Avengers from 2012 in the B tier. I know that might really make some people angry, but I don't care. This is my list. Iron Man 3 from 2013, I went ahead and put that in the C tier. It has redeemable qualities with the character Harley. I think he was a cool kid in that film. It kind of deals with the more mental health aspects of Tony Stark's character, especially after the events of the first Avengers film. So there's definitely things I enjoy in it. Is it my favorite Marvel movie? No. But, you know, C tier, I think, feels pretty right for that film. Now, Thor the Dark World from 2013. I didn't mind the first Thor movie, but with this one, it's just awful. And I've been seeing a lot of news reports saying, like, Benedict Cumberbatch was originally going to play the character that Christopher Eccleston played in Thor the Dark World. I think it's Malekith, the Dark Elf, which is the villain of this film. And he definitely dodged a bullet on that one, because that was not an interesting villain whatsoever. The only redeemable quality of this film is when, what's her name? Kat Dennings says, refers to Mjolnir as Mew Mew. And that's the only redeemable quality of this movie. Thor the Dark World 2013 definitely goes in the D tier. I don't think anybody likes this movie. On to Captain America the Winter Soldier from 2014. I gotta put this movie in the A tier. I almost want to put it in the S tier, but I haven't rewatched it that many times, and it's not one I go back to very often, but I love this story. Having, you know, spoiler alert, but it has been out since 2014, you know, Bucky coming back, kind of being a brainwashed villain, the Winter Soldier, and just what they did with this character overall, not only in that film, but in the MCU, like in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Oh my God, that scene where he's like in Wakanda and you know what I'm talking about. Oof, hits me right in the feels. But Captain America the Winter Soldier, I think, is a great, like, kind of spy thriller film in a way. So I'm going to put that movie in the A tier. I think it's really great. And it introduces the character of Falcon, which I love that on your left moment in the movie. Coming up with Guardians of the Galaxy 2014, I also put this movie in the A tier. Again, another movie I almost wanted to put in the S tier, but, you know, there's a couple things holding me back from it. I don't think the villain is very good. Other than that, I think that's the only complaint I have with it. That's why it didn't quite make S tier, but I still love the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Age of Ultron, Avengers Age of Ultron from 2015. I'm a lot less cynical on this movie as time goes on. There's one scene in particular that's probably one of my favorite scenes in all of the MCU, which is Hawkeye talking to Scarlet Witch, saying, like, I forget exactly what he said, but he said essentially, like, when you walk out that door, you are an Avenger. And I'm just like, oh, this makes me want to go fight. I'd probably die immediately, but, you know, it pumps me up. And that's honestly one of my favorite moments in all of the MCU. I think it's really great. But overall, I don't think Ultron was as menacing of a villain as they were trying to make him. And the whole forced relationship with Hulk and Black Widow just didn't really work for me. But, everything else I thought was pretty decent. But I have to put Avengers Age of Ultron in the C tier. Ant-Man 2015, also going to put that in the C tier. I love Paul Rudd, don't get me wrong. I enjoy this movie. I love the comedy aspects of it. But in terms of like rewatching the MCU movies, this one doesn't necessarily stand out to me. You know, I think the lead, Paul Rudd, and then like Luis, that's a great character. Excuse me, hiccups. I think those are the real saving graces of the film. Just having those comedic aspects, but also, you know, doing the interesting things of having him shrink down and do these, like, you know, make everything look bigger since he's the size of an ant. I think that's cool, but, you know, at the end of the day, the movie doesn't really do a whole lot for me. So the first Ant-Man goes in C tier. Now, Captain America Civil War from 2016 is a movie I didn't necessarily love when it first came out and didn't really love for a few years. I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't like my favorite MCU movie. Looking back on it, I'm a lot more positive about it. You know, the introduction of Spider-Man I thought was really great. I wish they wouldn't have spoiled that in the trailers, but there's a lot of speculation there because that's a big character in the Civil War comic. In terms of adapting the comic to the movies, you know, at the time they didn't have the rights to a lot of different characters. They didn't set up a lot of characters, so there's only so much they could have done. But, you know, in terms of adapting it from the comic book, it didn't quite do enough for me. But the introduction of Black Panther 2 I thought was really great. Overall, pretty decent film. And the fight between Iron Man and Captain America and Bucky, like, holy crap, great fight there. But yeah, Captain America Civil War goes in the A tier. For Doctor Strange 2016, I'm going to put that movie in the B tier. It has a lot of really trippy and cool visuals. They do a lot of great things with, like, the mirror dimension and stuff like that. And, you know, going through these different universes and introducing magic to the MCU, which I really enjoy. But overall, when I look back on it, this movie doesn't do a whole lot for me. Caecilius, the villain of this movie, you know, while I love the actor who portrays him, he's not that strong of a villain, to be honest. You know, Hannibal Lecter in this film, you know, because, you know, the actor plays him. But he doesn't quite do it for me, to be honest. And the character of the Ancient One just seems kind of, I don't know. For all the stuff that she talks about, she doesn't seem to, like, practice what she preaches, you know? And that's kind of a theme with Doctor Strange, you know, trying to protect things, but also trying to, like, bend rules to, you know, have things in his favor and you know, win certain fights. But Doctor Strange 2016, B tier, not my favorite. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 from 2017, I am putting in the A tier. I really love this film. It's not everybody's favorite, and most people like the first Guardians as opposed to this one. The overusage of Baby Groot in every piece of merchandise is kind of annoying, but at the same time, he is cute, and there's a lot of great moments with him, but not only him, but the rest of the Guardians in this movie, and the send-off that they have for Yondu always has me dead at the end of the movie, like, oh my god, just in tears. Ego isn't that great of a villain, but, you know, the aspect of them being, like, their own family is what makes this movie for me, so definitely gonna have to put Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 in the A tier. Now, the first Spider-Man movie of the MCU, Spider-Man Homecoming from 2017. I was never fully sold on Tom Holland. I grew up with the Tobey Maguire movies. I kind of liked Andrew Garfield, but, you know, Tom Holland, I was just like, he's the perfect age for it. He looks the perfect age for it. So I'm excited. After seeing him in Civil War, I was like, I like it, but I don't love it yet. And the aspects of having everything handed to him by Tony Stark, like his suits and all that, I don't quite like, but at the end of the day, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero, so I have to put Spider-Man Homecoming in the S tier. The character, the villain, Vulture, played by Michael Keaton, that reveal that he's Liz's dad in that movie blew everybody's minds in the movie theater, and looking back on it, I just remember that being a great moment in the theater and also being a great moment just watching it at home. He's a great villain. You know, you can kind of understand where he's coming from, which is very important in a villain to have, like, certain aspects to them where you can kind of see where they're coming from and that they were wronged in some way. And then Tom Holland, I think, just really knocked it out of the park with this movie. So, yeah, he does a great job, that's for sure. And Spider-Man Homecoming is going in the S tier for me. Thor Ragnarok 2017 is also going the S tier. Some of you may or may not be surprised by this, that I'm putting it in the S tier, but, you know, Thor wasn't that strong of a character up until this movie, and seeing what Taika Waititi did with his character. I mean, while the villain, Hela, isn't that interesting to me, everything else about this movie is, you know? I mean, Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster, is that his name? Yeah, I think so. Don't hate me, but Jeff Goldblum kind of plays similar characters in every movie. Just kind of has that energy about him where he just kind of falls into that same kind of role. And I didn't really care for that either too much. But, you know, like Valkyrie, Thor, Loki, and Hulk in this movie are all fantastic. And just everything they do in this film with the comedy and the characters and just the references and the callbacks and all sorts of great character moments with everyone. It just really makes this movie for me. So Thor Ragnarok is going in the S tier. Black Panther 2018 is going in the A tier. I love this movie. Love the character of Killmonger. I think he's a great villain. Overall, it's kind of some of the CGI that kind of makes this movie come down from an S tier to an A tier for me. Some of it just kind of looks unfinished, especially the final battle between T'Challa and Killmonger down in the, like, you know, the train area where they ship the different stuff. You know what I'm talking about. That scene just didn't quite do it for me, and it's supposed to be a final battle, and it felt kind of anticlimactic, but everything leading up to it I thought was great. But yeah, Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace. I thought he was great as the character. Whew, it's getting hot in here with this light, and I have no windows open. But yeah, Black Panther going in the A tier. Avengers Infinity War 2018 definitely has to go in the S tier. What can I say about this? Obviously. You know what? Let's move on. Obviously, it's going to go in the S tier. It's Avengers Infinity War. Thanos is a great villain. And that ending. Holy crap. Ant-Man and the Wasp 2018 goes in the C tier. I almost wanted to put it in the D tier, but I was being a little nicer to it. You know, it has some redeeming qualities-ish, I guess. Paul Rudd is hilarious as ever, so that's mainly the only redeeming quality. With a movie like Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, like, there's a lot going on, but they balance it well. And with this movie, there's just, like, essentially three different villains. You have Ghost, and then Lawrence Fishburne's character. You have Sonny Birch, and then you have the FBI or whatever. And it's just, like, there's too much going on in one movie. It's a little too convoluted and just all over the place. And then also on top of, like, trying to escape the FBI and trying to escape Sonny Birch and trying to escape Ghost, they're also trying to get Hope's mom out of the quantum realm. It's just a lot going on, and it doesn't quite do it for me. So, yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp goes in C tier. As for Captain Marvel 2019, I also have to put that in the C tier. Nothing against Brie Larson. I know a lot of people like to hate on her on the internet, but I think she's beautiful. I'm kind of in love with her, to be honest. But, yeah, this movie just doesn't quite do it for me either. I don't know, because there's just so many other good Marvel movies. I mean, I think the real standout for this movie for me is Talos, played by Ben Mendelsohn. And just having that perspective of, like, you know, starting off thinking that the Skrulls are evil, but they turn out to be good guys. And, you know, the people that Captain Marvel is working with, those are the evil people. The Kree, I think. But, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, Nick Fury, the de-aging stuff looks pretty good. Nick Fury's always great. Samuel L. Jackson's always great, but not my favorite. So, Avengers Endgame 2019. Do I even have to say anything? Obviously, it's going to S tier. I think I like this movie more than Avengers Infinity War. And from the trailers alone, it looked really serious, but the movie was surprisingly funny, especially with Fat Thor, which a lot of people hate, but I don't mind. And all the callbacks going back to the 2012 Avengers, like actually going back to that, and just different things it sets up for the future, like Loki. It's just a really great film, and, you know, it has a lot of impactful moments with Iron Man and Captain America, and just so many great moments in this movie. But yeah, obviously Avengers Endgame is going in the S tier. Oh, we're getting close to being finished here. Pretty close. I don't know if you can tell, but I am sweating bullets. This light's pretty hot. But yeah, post-Endgame, we have Spider-Man Far From Home 2019. I'm going to put that in the B tier just because the character of Mysterio was too predictable. Like, they were trying to make him out to be a hero, and it was so obvious to so many people that he was not. So, that little twist, no, didn't quite do it for me. But I still like Spider-Man, so that's why it's going in the B tier. I still love Spider-Man. WandaVision 2021, the first Disney Plus TV show that I'm putting on this tier list, goes in the B tier. I recently rewatched it before Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness, and it seems like, you know, it's cool that they're trying to do a different thing with, you know, having the different sitcoms and stuff like that in the different eras, but it doesn't leave itself enough time to have, like, a satisfying ending, I guess. You know, it has a pretty satisfying ending, the way they send off, like, Vision and the kids. But overall, this show doesn't quite do it for me. And The Falcon and the Winter Soldier 2021, also in the B tier, doesn't quite do it for me either. I think if they had John Walker being the main villain of this first season, or probably they're only doing one season, and then making Captain America 4 with Anthony Mackie as Captain America. I think if they would have focused on John Walker being the main villain of the series, I think it would have been a lot better. But having the Flag Smashers in there, I really didn't care for their villain characters. So they were pretty forgettable. Never really cared for them. But yeah, John Walker was great. So that's why it's going in the B tier. As for Loki 2021, I am definitely putting this, I almost said movie, this show in the S tier. I love this show. Can't wait to rewatch it before the second season. Might rewatch it soon. I don't know. But Tom Hiddleston as Loki is definitely one of my favorite characters / actors in the MCU. So definitely got to put Loki in the S tier. And also Sylvie is a great character. Mobius is a great character as well. Lots of great things in that series for me. Oh, let me get a deep breath here. I've been talking a while. Wow, been talking for 20 minutes. Black Widow 2021 goes in the C tier. Never really cared for this movie that much. There's some kind of redeeming qualities. I mean, Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow is great, but I don't know. It just felt like they made it too late, you know? But it's cool that we have that character. Oh, shoot, what's her name? I'm forgetting now. You know what I'm talking about, the sister. Shoot, what's her name? I can't remember at the moment, but you know what I'm talking about. I like her. She's cool. What If 2021, the first animated show from the MCU, goes in the B tier. There's another season coming, so I think it can turn it around for me. But as for this one, I'm not, like, blown away, but I still enjoyed certain things in it. So yeah, pretty decent show. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings 2021. I love this movie so much. I'm putting it in the S tier. It's probably not everybody's, like, favorite Marvel movie or, like, one of their favorites. But for me, I've rewatched this movie so many times. I have so much fun with it. And definitely one of my favorites. I don't know why I love it so much compared to, like, these other behemoths. But I don't know. Something about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I think I saw it, like, maybe 3-4 times in the theaters. And a few other times on Disney Plus. I bought the movie too on my Vudu. I love it. Can't wait to see more from that character going forward. Eternals 2021 goes in the D tier. I hate this movie. This is the one movie I was referencing in the beginning. I think I referenced that in the beginning. There's one movie on this list. Like, out of all the Marvel movies and shows, I don't really hate any of them. But if I had to say I hated anything, it would be Eternals. I hate Eternals so much. Didn't mind it the first time I watched it. The more I thought about it, I'm just like, oh, I don't like this movie. You have such good actors in here. You got such great cinematography. And just a fucking terrible story. I really do not like it at all. And comment down below if you're watching on YouTube. If you really love this movie, I'd love to know why. I don't think a whole lot of people liked it, but for me, like, if I had to say I hated any Marvel movie, it would be this one. I do not like Eternals, so that's why it's going in the D tier. Hawkeye 2021, I put that in the A tier. I really like the show. I got a poster right there. You know, it was a lot different from a lot of the other Marvel shows. It was a lot more street level. You know, not as high stakes, but still, you know, great moments, with great villains. Maya Lopez was a great villain. Spoiler alert, bringing in Kingpin, that was a big surprise. And just the dynamic between Clint and Kate Bishop, I think, is really great in the show. So Yelena, that's the name. Yelena also shows up in the show too, and I think she has a great dynamic with Kate Bishop. But yeah, Hawkeye definitely goes in the A tier. I can't wait to see more of what they're doing with that in the future, if they're making another season or not. Spider-Man No Way Home 2021 obviously is going in the S tier, bringing in my childhood favorite Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, and somebody I always kind of liked as Spider-Man who I think deserved more of a shot was Andrew Garfield. And then having Tom Holland, and then bringing all the villains together too, Alfred Molina, Willem Dafoe, just bringing in everybody, and oh, it was such a good time. I watched this movie 3-4 times in the theaters. I've seen it a few more times at home. I mean, what can I say? It's Spider-Man No Way Home. Obviously, I had to put in the S tier. It's like one of those Endgame situations. Like, how could you not? And then Moon Knight. Got a poster right there, which may soon be replaced with the Miss Marvel poster. Because I put Moon Knight in the B tier. I was hoping to like it a little bit more. But they just didn't leave themselves enough time at the end. If you listen to any of my reviews for Moon Knight, you'll know that I think there were 6 episodes after the 5th episode, and hearing how short the next episode's going to be, I was just like, how are they going to wrap this up in that short amount of time? And they do it decently, but not well enough, in my opinion. There's a lot of great things they do with the show, dealing with mental health and, you know, abuse. Oh, you know what I'm talking about if you watch the show. It's dark. It's one of the darkest things that Marvel has had so far, maybe, except for Doctor Strange 2. But yeah, Moon Knight was pretty good, but I still have to put in the B tier. Just, I wanted more out of it. And Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, the most recent release and the last thing on this tier list, is going in the B tier. I expected more from the movie. I appreciate a lot about the movie, what they were trying to do. I love Sam Raimi's direction in the film, making it more of a horror movie. You know, Moon Knight was dark, but this was way darker, and it's taking the MCU to different places where I never thought it might be able to go, but this is a straight-up horror movie, so I respect it for that, and I respect Sam Raimi for that as well. So, yeah, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, not a terrible movie, but I pretty much put it right up there with the first Doctor Strange. Doesn't blow me away, but America Chavez also was a really great character in that film. Excited to see more from her going forward, and maybe she could even show up in Miss Marvel, possibly. Do we like Young Avengers kind of thing? I would like that. Big deep breath there, because I just got done with that big ass list of all those movies and TV shows from the MCU. But yeah, there's a lot on that list, but if you're watching on YouTube, feel free to comment your ranking down below. And yeah, if you're listening on the podcast, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. Let me know what you thought of my tier list, and maybe let me know what yours is. See how they differ. I would love to see what other people think. But yeah, that's all I got for this video, and that's all I got for the podcast as well. So see you in the next one. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. As I said before, I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. The link in the bio of my Instagram will take you to my website made through Wix, where you can find where to watch on YouTube, where to listen on all major podcast platforms. And there's also a link to my TeePublic store, where I have 3 designs available. I have a regular Pop Culture Podcast logo tee, or not a tee, but just the design in general. I also have a trippy neon retro looking Pop Culture Podcast logo design, as well as my newest design, which says Pop Culture Podcast Established 2020, and has the Doctor Strange kind of spark portal with a person behind it wearing the cloak of levitation and the eye of Agamotto, and also has blonde hair because I'm blonde, so I sculpted it after me. But yeah, TeePublic has all different types of merch items. They have shirts, like t-shirts, they have tank tops, they got sweatshirts, they have hoodies, they got freaking baby clothes, tapestries, mugs, notebooks, phone cases, laptop cases, stickers, magnets. They have all sorts of stuff on there. So if you want to go check out my TeePublic store, again, the link in the bio of my Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast should take you there. And I would really appreciate if you pick up a merch item there. It helps me and it helps the podcast. And I appreciate your support. But that's all I have for this episode. I'll be back in the next one, most likely to review that new Men movie, as well as Downton Abbey, A New Era, as well as whatever else I come up with in that time. But thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.